Greetings and a warm welcome back to the Kurdistan in America podcast, the official podcast of the Kurdistan Regional Government in Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Dilovan Barwari, and I'm delighted to present the 8th episode of our 4th season. Today, we have a distinct honor of hosting Dr. Nahro Zagros, the editor-in-chief of Kurdistan Chronicle. He previously served as the vice president of Soran University and currently holds the position of senior fellow at the Gold Institute for International Strategy in Washington, D.C. In addition to his academic pursuits, Dr. Zagros is an active contributor to various local and international media platforms, sharing his insights on politics and culture. In this episode, our focus mainly revolves around Kurdistan Chronicle, journalism, and press freedom in the Kurdistan region, but Dr. Nahro also shares his views about the history of the Kurdish question in Iraq and current relations between Erbil and Baghdad. Get ready for an engaging conversation as we delve into the worlds of journalism, democracy, and Kurdish politics. And now, the interview with Dr. Nahro Zagros. Hello, Dr. Nahro. Welcome to Kurdistan in America.
It's great to be with you. Thanks very much for having me and inviting me.
It's a pleasure having you. Thanks for taking the time. The main focus of this discussion will be about Kurdistan Chronicles and journalism in Kurdistan. But before we get there, I wanted to give some background information about you. You spent years in academia, and you were the vice president of Soran University, and I believe you were also a professor teaching.
Yeah.
What made you transition into journalism and start Kurdistan Chronicles?
Thanks very much, and thanks for this opportunity, Kak Dalovan. I've always worked in media. Even when I was a teenager, I was writing for newspapers back then, just after the uprising in 1991, where I first tried to publish my articles and my poems, and then also working in music. And then when I was about 20 years old in the Kurdistan region, when the first satellite was established, back then was Kurdistan TV. I was a part of it, and later on I had a TV program. So I was always interested in media. Then later on, when I pursued my career in academia, when I finished my diploma, then master's and also PhD, I was more into academic writing. But at the same time, I was always writing for newspapers, for different websites, trying to publish articles in Kurdish and in English in the Kurdistan region and also abroad. So I've always had a foot in media. And later on, after finishing my job at Soran University as vice president at Soran University, with a colleague of mine, we decided to establish a think tank. And then when we approached different people, we tried to gather some supports and some financial help to establish a think tank. Then this idea of a magazine came about. And my colleague, my old friend and I, who started this project together, we had different discussions in the past about having a news outlet in English. And we thought a magazine and later on perhaps a newspaper in English would be essential for the Kurdistan region. There is so much in this country that people don't know. Unfortunately, you know, Kurdistan region or the Middle East or Iraq, if you like, it's always associated with bad things. But where we are now, it's an oasis in the middle of trouble in the Middle East. And in this oasis, we have freedom, we have peace, we have so much positivity. There is a lot to tell people around the world who we are. And this country is full of history, full of beautiful culture, lots of different religious and ethnic groups live side by side, and they've been living together for centuries. In this small piece of country, which is less than the size of Yorkshire in England, or less than the size of Switzerland, for example. We have 1 million refugees. One in every five person is a refugee. And yet, you know, we welcome people. It's a rare situation where there is lots of positivity. And we thought through Kurdistan Chronicle, we could tell the world who we are, especially having an English language magazine, a monthly magazine. It was needed because there is lots of room for this kind of media. And that was the motivation, really.
Very well said. There's definitely a lot of stories to tell. And the fact that the Kurdistan region, Kurdistan in general, falls in a very, I would say, unstable, historically unstable. A lot of conflicts have been in the region, and Kurdistan was partitioned into four different parts. Politics is at the, I would say, dining table or living room discussion of almost every family, Kurdish family. So how do you juggle independent or editorial independence, objectivity, and personal opinion about Kurdistan politics, which is very complex and tricky? How do you handle this balancing act effectively?
Well, the whole idea behind Kurdistan Chronicle, if I may only speak about Kurdistan Chronicle and about the project that I'm involved in and involved with, is to showcase Kurdistan to the world. And with that, we are trying to use soft power. We try to tell people who Kurds are and tell people who lives in the Kurdistan region and why this country or this part of the world is important for the safety of the Middle East and beyond. And that's all that. But to come back to your question about politics, you are correct and in saying that politics in our blood, it's in everywhere. In all family discussions, we have politics. We grew up in an area, all of us, where surrounded by lots of different problems. And the political dynamic in this region moves very fast. Without politics, without talking about politics, it seems that we have no other subject to talk about in Kurdistan region. And bearing in mind that, you know, for the first time ever in our history, 40 million Kurds who live in the world, carved up between Turkey, Syria, Iran, and Turkey, only in the Kurdistan region of Iraq, now we have this peace, and we've managed to create a security force and a border to protect ourselves. We held the first democratic election in 1992. It was unique, not just in Iraq, perhaps in the whole of Middle East. So all of these things are motivational, really. We talk about politics. We have problems. It's not a perfect place here. But bearing in mind who we are and where we started and where we are now, and knowing where we are surrounded by who, it's pretty amazing that what we have created. And I think we should cherish that. So we try in Kurdistan Chronicle to talk about this positive aspect of the Kurdistan region, why it was created, why it's important to protect it, and why it's important to give a correct picture of the Kurds, of people in the Kurdistan region to the world. This is the aim, and this is the target, really.
Now, you mentioned Kurdistan region's democracy. So let's discuss press freedom in Kurdistan. Recently, there has been some criticism about the Kurdistan region, or KRG, backtracking in democracy. And some critics have argued that. Yeah. What are your thoughts on criticisms about the region's democracy, and how would you describe the current state of press freedom in Kurdistan?
Look, we've been criticized for that, but in the same report that the Kurdistan region was criticized, Canada was criticized, okay? Germany was criticized. A few other places in the world are criticized for that. But democracy, it's a very young experience here. Democracy in Europe, in other places, have been evolving for the past 200, 300 years. And what we have now it's pretty amazing when you look at the context, because sometimes we make wrong judgments and we analyze the Kurdistan region. We try to put Kurdistan region with the rest of European democracies together, knowing that democracy has only started about 20 years ago in this region. But when you look at the context of Iraq and the Middle East, and you know that what we have right now, it's best by far from other regions. Look, the best internet in the region is in the Kurdistan region right now, excluding two countries, Israel and the UAE. But even with the UAE and the rest of the Middle Eastern countries, there are certain applications. Social media, it's never been banned here. In some countries like Turkey, even YouTube and other platforms have been banned. In here, there is nothing has been banned. Every mainstream social media works here. People can access any internet they want. And the majority of people in this country are young. I think the statistics is 60% of the population are between the age of 10 to 25, something like that. And if you see the on social media and all this political chats and groups people have created on social media, always criticizing government, always criticizing regional forces, always criticizing local councils and governors. It's amazing. Is it perfect? It's not perfect. It's never been perfect anywhere in the world, but it's evolving. If 20 years ago, for example, if we had 20 journalists in prison, now we have none, or we have one or two. So when you look at the space of this 20 years time, how things have evolved, press freedom is much better here than anywhere else. If you compare Kurdistan, the Kurdistan region, with the rest of Iraq, where people have been killed, where people are getting killed every day for what they believe in, lots of journalists are in prison, lots of journalists have been intimidated, lots of journalists have been beaten up, we are way better than them.
If I would say the comparison have to be we're better than the rest of the Middle East, actually.
Yeah, look at Turkey, for example. Look at Iran. Look at Syria. We are surrounded by those people. We have borders. We are trying to protect ourselves without getting much help nowadays. With all of that, obviously, you do see sometimes journalists face difficulties, but journalists face difficulties everywhere. Is there room for improvement? Absolutely. There is always room for improvement, and we should always try to improve the situation. But right now, we are way better than anywhere else in the Middle East. In different parts of the Middle East, where they have more money than us, where they have more international support than us, journalists are getting killed, and they are wiped out on the face of Earth without anyone talking about it. But when there is a problem here, people talk about it. People try to voice the concern, and they should do that. And this is what makes, I think, me as a journalist to be proud of this culture and this country. But we should always try to improve the situation. We should always try to excel in press freedom.
I agree with that. Even though there's a lot of room for improvement if you compare it with Western Europe or the United States, but I think the state of freedom, press freedom in Kurdistan is extensive. You could see that in a press conference, for example, by the amount of microphones that are attached to the podium, or if you follow Kurdish social media, and most of them are in Kurdistan, of course, the amount of media outlets are out there. That shows that there is press freedom. Maybe, there's some shortcomings, but press freedom is actually alive in Kurdistan. Now that takes us to another topic, which is related to press freedom. In today's era of fake news and generative AI, which even Kurdistan deals with misinformation, especially in social media, how do you ensure the information you provide at Kurdistan Chronicle is accurate and credible?
Well, most people who write for Kurdistan Chronicle are local writers, and some of them are international writers. And we, this is a small society. We all pretty much know each other. So we try to verify different things. And we have articles that we've received some articles like 5-6 months ago. But because we are concerned about some information and some data, is a bit, you know, there is no backing of this data. We have delayed these articles to publish. So it's a struggle. We all struggle with it. I've participated in some conferences and some seminars about that. People are looking at different ways to improve and try to make sure that the stuff they put out, it's not fake news. It's not fake information. The rest of the world struggles with that. And knowing that with social media, people can say anything they want without any verification or any source, really. But we at Kurdistan Chronicle, because we focus on different subjects and the subjects that we focus on and the matters that we want to put out and the stuff that we want to highlight and showcase are very well-known information. So we have various individuals that we connect, we talk to. We have connections with professors at different universities in the Kurdistan region and in America and in Europe, where we sometimes verify some articles and some data. So it's a great help.
So what sets Kurdistan Chronicle apart from others, other outlets in Kurdistan?
First, it's in English. It's a unique thing in English. Second is a monthly magazine. Third, it's generally about showcasing Kurdistan. One of the problems that we have in the Kurdistan region when it comes to media, it's lack of identity, or some people and some news outlets, they are confused with identity. But our policy and our identity is very clear. We, in simple terms, we try to showcase Kurdistan to the world.
Very well. So for young aspiring journalists, what advice or tip do you have for those who want to pursue a career in journalism?
We work with different young groups. There is CNN Academy in Erbil, where we take interns from them. We take interns from universities. We take interns from various youth groups. This is one way to start as intern with different groups. The second one is to try to be more objective. Sometimes young journalists here in the Kurdistan region, they are not very objective. And this is one of the things that we always advise people, especially interns when they come to us, to be objective. And the other thing is to start to be investigative. Investigative journalism is something still very not mature in Kurdistan region. This is what we want to tell young people who come to Kurdistan Chronicle to be objective, to start to work on investigative, to go into investigative journalism.
So do you think that the educational institutions and media agencies are providing enough training for journalists to be ethical and responsible reporters or objective in their reporting?
To be honest, yes and no. Yes, they do, but no, because it's not enough. That's something we need to look into. And working with universities, I think, working with academia, especially in institutions where they have journalism department. We have to evolve. We have to get up to speed with the rest of the world. Sometimes I feel in certain areas, in certain matters in journalism, we are stuck in the past. We are not very well connected to the world. So there is, again, lots of room to improve in that regard, I think.
Now I want to turn to regional politics. Given your extensive coverage of Kurdistan's politics and the region, what major changes or shifts have you noticed in the region's political landscape in recent years? And how have these changes affected relations between Baghdad and Erbil?
Yes, it's a subject that's been going on for the past 100 years since the creation of Iraq. The relation between Kurdistan and Baghdad is always up and down. Back then, we didn't have Kurdistan. Kurdistan started with the Kurdish Revolution in the 60s and 70s, really, the recognition of an autonomous region within northern Iraq to be called Kurdistan, and the Kurdistan region is the product of this revolution that started. The revolution started in 1940s, generally, but it peaked in 60s and 70s. And after that, we see a recognition from Baghdad, from Iraqi government to Kurdistan. And then after 1991, where we had an uprising against Saddam Hussein's regime, we took over Kurdish lands and Kurdish big cities, and we managed our own affairs until Saddam Hussein was toppled.
Yeah, really.
So in 2003, Saddam Hussein was toppled. Thanks to Kurdish help with the coalitions, we managed to get rid of this despotic regime. And then in 2005, the first Iraqi constitution in post-Saddam Hussein Iraq was written. And within that, Kurdistan region was identified as a federal region, semi-autonomous region within Iraq. So the Kurdistan region is the product of all these historical revolutions and struggles, really. Right now, the relation with Baghdad, it's not good at all. Politicians might say something different, but from my point of view as an independent journalist, I don't see any hope. The reason I'm not very hopeful about the relationship between Kurdistan and Baghdad is because time and time again, throughout the creation of Iraq in the past 100 years, Iraqi government always promised to deliver and respect Kurdish rights, but they've always failed to do it. And that makes me very skeptical about the current relation that we have with Baghdad. You know, Kurdish rights have been denied for so many years. There is no Iraqi politician who would say that they're not going to give Kurds their rights. But there is no Iraqi politician actually committing to it, or hardly any. So look, our revenue, we don't receive the share of the Iraqi budget or the Iraqi revenue. The border and disputed areas have not been solved. 55 articles within the Iraqi constitution that concerns the Kurdistan region have been ignored. And people of Kurdistan have seen Iraqi troops are actually militarily attacking civilians. And our lands in Kirkuk area, in south of the Kurdistan region, are always in disputed areas where people, farmers, get kicked out of their lands, they're beaten up, they're killed, their crops have been destroyed. So all of these things telling me that I should be skeptical about the promises that we hear from Iraqi politicians.
I agree with what you said. You know, going back to history, many promises have not been respected or honored. The 1970 agreement, autonomy agreement, and then in 2005, the federal status today, as we witnessed, 55 articles in the Iraqi constitution have been violated that are related to Kurdistan. And it resulted, it led to the independence referendum in 2017, and 92-93% of Kurds voted yes for independence. In the past 2-3 years, Erbil has been negotiating with Baghdad, but Baghdad hasn't honored all of these agreements. So in your opinion, do you see potential solutions?
There is always potential solution, but I think from Iraqi side, they try to ignore it. You know, it's very easy to find a solution. It's very easy to see the positive path towards peace and prosperity in this region and in Iraq. But Iraqi politicians, you know, some of Iraqi politicians, especially the powerful ones, they try to ignore that. They don't learn lessons from history. There is also another factor that people don't usually talk about, is that the regional powers' interference in Iraq and in Iraqi politics. This is also another factor where some regional powers have interest in Iraq, and it seems that this chaotic situation in Iraq benefits them. But what amazes me is that Iraqi politicians don't see the threat. They don't see the problems that these regional powers are creating. Not only that, but some of our forces, some of our institutions are actually working just like as if they are proxies of those countries. And this is another complicated reality that makes most Kurds to be skeptical about the promises that we hear from the Baghdad and from the central government.
Couldn't agree more. Now, before we wrap up, is there anything else that you would like to add, or any specific point you'd like to elaborate on?
Thanks very much for the opportunity. I think we discussed a few important subjects. If I were
absolutely
somebody from a political party or from the authority, I might have elaborated my ideas in a more diplomatic way, but I try to be very open about my opinions and how I feel as an individual, as a journalist in Kurdistan. Thanks very much, and I hope you keep this podcast going, and I hope you will connect with the youth in this country. The youth need voices to be they have to be more international, and a platform like yours would be a good place so that they could voice their opinions.
Thank you very much for your time and insight today, and for your support.
Thanks very much, Kak Delovan. It's a pleasure.
It's a pleasure having you, Dr. Naro. Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Kurdistan in America podcast, the official podcast of the Kurdistan Regional Government representation in Washington, D.C. Please don't forget to subscribe to our podcast either on Buzzsprouts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google. Also, for more information about the Kurdistan region, please visit our website at www.us.gov.krd or follow us on Twitter at KRG_USA.